Who are they? We're doing like some stats and like reporting on industries today because Audrey and I had some interesting thoughts. We were like, listen, I think that it is increasingly important to not just ask yourself when you're considering going out for a new job or applying for a certain opportunity. It's important to not, especially in this day and age, just ask, do I like the pay? Does the company seem cool? Do I like who I'd be working with and for? Are the learning opportunities good? But even more so, ask yourself, do I think this industry is going to be around? And, or, of course, I think that many industries will be, quote, around because they experience, they represent a basic human need that needs to be fulfilled. But is it going to have be majorly disrupted? And in what ways do I think it's going to be disrupted? How can I evolve with that? Do I want to? Do I think it'll match with my skill set as time goes on? Versus where do I think is not only stable, but has a healthy growth chart, maybe does not have as many catastrophic disruptions ahead. These are all important questions to ask so you could be a very empowered job seeker and designer of your own career. So that's why we wanted to do an episode like this where we're going to be reporting on what are some industries that are experiencing a large labor shortage, i.e., they're going to be very glad for applicants like you to get in there, and maybe you'll experience less competition. And then also, from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, which is a great resource, by the way. It's just a really ugly website, but there is so much good information in there. But from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, we're also going to talk about the 20 most in-demand jobs right now, meaning, Audrey, can you help me touch up on the meaning of that? I think it is kind of funnily similar. There are a lot of, this means there's a high volume of job postings and opportunities. There may also be a correlation with a high number of people going after these jobs, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't go after it, but.
So we're going to be talking about the fastest growing occupations and a list of 20 occupations that in the United States are fastest growing, which basically just means they have the highest projected percent change of employment between 2022 and 2032. And what that means is that, first of all, they will be around. And second of all, they are hiring significantly over the next decade, and you actually have a likelihood, or there's a higher likelihood of actually landing one of these jobs because of how much they are hiring and how much they need people in these positions.
Woohoo! Okay, well, I'm really excited. So I'm gonna dive in by first talking about the list of professions that, let me go back to the source. It was the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, indicates as the most impacted industries of America's labor shortage. And no surprise here, I think I knew going in that as I was researching this, I was going to find a lot of blue-collar jobs, being the ones reported as having a labor shortage. So we've all heard that the trucking industry, manufacturing, even hospitality are industries that are experiencing a large labor shortage. And that's no surprise. But I think that what I really wanted to emphasize in this episode, since our listener base is largely looking for white-collar jobs, is before we just go into the high-demand jobs that are more of that corporate feel, I think we did want to touch a little bit on how Audrey and I have been seeing a trend with clients be more interested actually in working with their hands or being in a job that's not at a desk and just doing something physical. And so I think that even though a lot of people who listen to our podcast and come into our practice to work with us, they do say, I really want, they often have at least a bachelor's degree. They would like to stay within corporate. But I do think it's worth pointing out that there is an abundance of great opportunity by their own definition in blue-collar jobs. I think that there's just a little bit of a stigma here. For instance, we have a lot of people say, I would love to make six figures and beyond. Did you know that you could get your CHL, your basically 18-wheeler driving license, you could go out and get that right now and start making. Even in 2018, when I was, 2017, I was working in tech consulting. My coworker said her husband was making more than both her and I, and he's a truck driver. I think he was making like $170 a year. That's really good. My father-in-law also is, he drives trucks, and it's like well over six figures at this point. And so I think, honestly, do you like moving things around? Do you like, I don't know, being on the open road and listening to podcasts all day? All right, well then maybe don't be sleeping on truck driving. And of course, autonomous vehicles are on the rise, and at the same time, you know, don't maybe immediately discount transportation industry in general.
Mm. Yeah, and especially because autonomous vehicles are on the rise, but so mm-hmm. is Amazon and all online shopping ever, and actually getting that stuff delivered to you. That's where the truck drivers come in, and you got to stop talking about how good being a truck driver is, because I actually have a story to share where I was reminded of this probably last year, and it's really just stayed on my mind because in middle school, I took a career test, which is both great and also kind of crazy that a 12-year-old is taking a career test, but whatever. And it came back as my number one career option was a truck
Tell
driver.
Me why. I love this.
And I remember being so confused by that and truly just casting it aside. Well, I also went to we have a lot of people from my high school go to college and pursue 4-year degrees. So I was just really confused because I didn't even see this as an option to be a truck driver. I'm also a blonde girl. I was just not seeing my demographic. And that's, I was like, okay, whatever. This test is kind of whack. But then last year I was thinking about it, and I love driving, and I love driving by myself, and I love driving across the United States. And I was thinking back to that career test, thinking, okay, maybe it knew something that I didn't. And this is my public service announcement that I don't plan to
But if you did.
Career. But if I do, if I did, watch out for me behind the wheel of an 18-wheeler driving on I-80 across the country, bringing your goods
doing the Lord's
to your
work.
Doorstep.
Don't discount a good thing is what we're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, going into hospitality too, can I just say, like, moving your way up and becoming mm-hmm. a hotel manager is giving major Lorelai Gilmore vibes. Live in Stars Hollow.
Oh gosh. Okay. So if I am ever leaving the cold career and it's not to be a truck driver, it's because I'm going to become Lorelai Gilmore living in Stars Hollow.
I now regret recording this episode with you because it's just giving you so many ideas for how to leave. But in all seriousness, I have another real life example for this one. Going into hospitality, getting really savvy, it takes a very, very sharp person to succeed, especially if you're working in mm-hmm. the hotel industry. Then I know somebody who is extremely successful. I think she's in her early 60s now. She started, I think she was pursuing a bachelor's degree. She was going to college. She was working on the side at a hotel to pay for her education. And if I have my facts right, I believe she was telling me she quit college because she realized that all the jobs she was about to go out for with her degree were not going to be as financially advantageous as what she was already currently making in the hotel industry. And she did see a chain of command to go up. Like, she saw a path for advancement, and she was right. And it ended up that she ended up running that hotel again, Lorelai Gilmore vibes. And then she ended up buying and founding a series of restaurants that have done remarkably well. She sold some of them. She's rolling, honestly. And we had this like amazing dinner where she was talking about how intensely she's doubting the value of a college education. If you go in for the right reasons, and she outlined those parameters, then yeah, sure. But there are a lot of people out there that should realize the gift of our economy evolving in the favor of high-paying careers that do not require a bachelor's degree, versus we're seeing a lot of competition for certain quote white-collar jobs that require a bachelor's degree at least. And since there's quite a bit of competition, they that pushes down the pay, and it makes it more difficult to advance over time. And so I just want to give some good representation to, quote, good jobs exist in a variety of settings. It's not just the corporate way to go. But I think I should mention a few others on the list of industries experiencing a labor shortage. So leisure and hospitality, they face high quit rates due to low wages and in-person work requirements, especially since there's so many people that don't want to work in person. And then, of course, Audrey and I have seen this. We've seen more of an influx of teachers wanting a career change, as well as those in health services like nursing. And then professional business services also consistently have high job openings. I wonder what they mean by professional and business services. That's interesting. I know that accounting is experiencing a labor shortage, actually. So I would say that is because it's really complex right now, that the lower levels of accounting are most advantageously offshored to labor markets like India, Philippines, Colombia, Mexico, things like that. That's because it's like not, it's a very repeatable skill. It's not extremely advanced, but companies therefore have to see their staff accounting personnel as an investment. It's not because it's good to pay that much for a low-level staff person in accounting, but they need to keep on hiring and paying too much for that lower-level labor. So eventually they will go up the chain of command and become managers and account managers and people liaising on the client site for these large companies that are hiring auditors, with still a lot of their lower level accounting services offshored to India and beyond. But that means that for a variety of other reasons, accounting is actually an in-demand job that is, it has a labor shortage. So that is a white-collar job. Boom. There we go. Anything else to add?
Yeah, I went back to the article and looked at what they defined as business services. And it's pretty broad. Includes legal services, scientific research, as well as roles like landscaping workers, cleaners, and waste disposal workers. So
do with that what you will.
Broad spectrum. And we'll link this article in the description of the episode so you can take a look at
yourself. Thanks. So the last thing I'll mention is, of course, manufacturing, but that one is experiencing a lot of disruption. Like there, I mean, frick, even my husband works at a startup creating automated forklifts. So there's not going to be really forklift drivers anymore. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's like almost a temporary labor shortage, but then it's going to be that vacancy will no longer be needed. So do you want to go on to more of the white collar jobs that are high demand?
Absolutely. And I do just want to say that just because a labor shortage may be temporary doesn't mean that it won't work for you right now, especially if you're starting your own business or if you just need something over the next couple years to get you through a certain season of your life. There's a labor shortage now and that's your situation, go for it. You don't always have to pursue the thing that's going to be long-term and supporting you for the next 10 to 15 years, especially if that's not how you feel you're being called in your life.
I love that point. I feel like I really want to make like one additional comment that what I've seen in clients that come to us, when they want an in-between job, they'll often cite that they're looking for something simple and administrative. But the thing is that I think administrative jobs are disappearing for good reason. Like they, first off, like personal productivity tools and automations are helping. Like you don't need a scheduler anymore, largely. If you hire someone for scheduling and even travel booking, who's a US employee that costs a lot more than someone who is equally skilled in the Philippines, you're doing something wrong as a business, really. Like people might come after me after for that. But I think it's true. Like it would just be dumb. And so I think that like executive assistants are a quickly disappearing job title. I think that any more simple job that is here to stay is because it does have some physical component to it. So you might still be able to find an assistant or administrative job if it's tied with being a wealthy person's house manager, or they have an in-person requirement because they need you to help with high-level tasks, but then also pick up their kids after school. And so I see that as more of what will stick around. But a lot of what people are picturing as they're thinking, what's an easy in-between job? That's a race to the bottom in terms of wages and in terms of competition. It's actually going to be very, very hard to get that job in most cases, unless you only go through personal networking and the person who hires you is pretty much just hiring you because they didn't realize that this is kind of harsh. They didn't realize that they should go on Upwork and hire someone who is great to work with in Colombia. That's just like frank reality that I'm seeing. So what you could do instead if you want an in-between job, a lot higher paying and less competition, is cleaning. I myself did this and I talk about this a lot. Cleaners like in my area in Austin, Texas, command $50 an hour on average. Like what the absolute heck? They're making, of course, like you have to like pay taxes on that. But my starting rate as a consultant, this is in 2018. And I would say that like cleaning rates around then were more like $30 an hour, but it was like $31 an hour in my very, very stressful corporate job that was hard to get, like with an 8% acceptance rate. And so I would, and then like, physical labor services, like, lawn mowing, things like that, or working at a restaurant, if you can get in it for the tips, that is quite frankly going to be a better temporary job than it trying to just keep up appearances and say, no, I'm like only a white collar worker. So do you have anything to add on that? Or what do you think, Audrey?
You said it so well. Oh, thanks. Anyways, I think we should just get into what the people want to know, Kelsey, which is the 20 occupations with the highest projected percent change.
And take it away, Captain.
All right. Were you as surprised by number one as I was?
What was number one? I'm like going back to the dock. Oh, wind. Yes. Yes. Wind turbine service technicians. What to what? Please explain. Audrey, what is? Why is it so in demand?
So basically, if you are unfamiliar with what a wind turbine service technician might do, it's actually all in the name. They service the wind turbines that are going up all around the world, honestly, and the U.S. So they are professionals who install, maintain, and repair wind turbines. And they actually quite literally are up on the wind turbines and everything. They're on the ground, but they'll get up there too. So think kind of the same people who don't have the amygdala in your brain that you sense fear. So the same people that are cleaning windows.
Audrey, they have an amygdala, but they something's different about it. I am not that kind of person. I would be screaming and crying. Like, seriously, I can't handle it. But I'm so glad that this is getting brought up, because when I was just driving around town the other day, I saw what's it called? The signs on the road, billboard, gosh. Okay. Billboard. You're like, sorry, can't help. But a billboard that said, like to climb, we're hiring, like, billboard installers. And I've actually had some clients come my way that say that they really, really want a career that feels like adventurous. They don't want to be trapped in a building or let alone at a desk. And mm-hmm. they really like doing physical things. And they thought about being like adventure guides, but they don't necessarily want to be stuck to like a certain national park, and it's very low pay and it's high competition. And they would like to live in a city. And it sounds like this would actually be an amazing opportunity then, because you could get pretty decent pay in these jobs where you're willing to climb up and be a technician. And I think a variety of technician jobs, you could actually make a good deal of money, including like HVAC professionals. Mm-hmm. Like, apparently that's kind of a cash cow business. Don't quote mm-hmm. me on that. But from what I've heard as a consumer, let me just say, every time the AC guy comes along, I'm like, hello, Satan. How's it going? Are you here to take all my money again?
Yeah. Again, being the keyword. And then also, with the wind turbines in particular, you're contributing to renewable energy, which is an amazing industry.
Yes, how cute. How cute.
Talk about redemption. The Lord's work. Saving the earth.
I love this.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that it was number one on this list to, first of all, give us the opportunity to talk about it, but also just bringing to light how mm-hmm. in demand it is. And I'm just thinking of, what, in the past 15 years, I feel like, maybe even more so 10, 15 years, how popular rock climbing has become. Like, if you're a climber and you want to be, and you for some reason can't pursue professional climbing or being a professional climber, go climb wind turbines and save the earth at the same time.
All the companies boom, boom, boom. Recruiting should just post up at like all the climbing gyms around town. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Gotta go send them some ideas. What about the next one? I'm excited to talk about nurse practitioners. And well, there's a couple. The next that we're running down the list, they're like pretty much all six-figure jobs, which is kind of like a hot ticket thing. So nurse practitioners being, I don't think that we need to describe that, but growth rate is 45% and median pay mm-hmm. is, so that's seen to go way up in job openings over the next 10 years. Median pay is $121,000 a year. Pretty good. Data scientists. I actually have had quite a few clients who are more like analytical and really like seeing and interpreting trends and presenting their findings. This has been an exciting career option that they've explored. And it's median pay $103,000. It's pretty good. I'm just, I wonder what data scientist versus data analyst. It's kind of different in different industries, but those are kind of synonym jobs that you could look up. And then mm-hmm. statisticians, professionals who collect, analyze, and interpret numerical data to solve real world problems in various fields. I kind of want to know, like, I feel like data scientists, statisticians, logisticians, and actuaries should all be friends. And I don't think I have anything else to say on that, but if any of that, like, kind of, if you have a more analyzing way that your brain was made and you love doing that stuff, maybe look into all the keywords that I just said. Information security analysts, specialists responsible for protecting and an organization's computer systems and networks from cyber threats. I know somebody, well, I'm sure we all do, who does this. And sometimes he'll have to like get up and in the night and like, you know, mm-hmm. do a fire drill and fix some like major security threat. And his wife will go, "Did you beat China?" And he goes, "Yeah, I beat China." Okay, let's go back to sleep. It's so funny. I don't know if that's not kosher to say, but.
No, I think people, a lot of times will attribute cybersecurity to only government jobs when in reality you can have such an impact in how do I say this? Preventing us from a future war.
How to say?
There's no other way to say that. With not working for the government, working for a private sector company, a corporation, and preventing them from cyber attacks, because we saw just last week that AT&T went down and it was disastrous for a lot of people and caused a lot of havoc. I haven't looked into the story too much. I don't know if a lot has been released about what happened there, but cyber attacks and cyber threats are very, very real, and you can do a lot of good work in working for a corporation, because not just the government's getting it. Sorry, this got really dark really quick, but this is also what I studied in school, so I'm like really paying attention to this kind of stuff. But there is a lot of opportunity there to actually prevent war, for lack of a better word.
That is purposeful, to say the least. And I kind of love how you bounced back from your I'm going to be a truck driver prediction to studying, like, wait, you what exactly did you study in college? It was kind of legit.
So my full degree, I was an international studies major focusing in security and intelligence with business history and Russian minors.
Whatever.
So, oh my gosh. A whole big way to say that I just studied war and conflict in a post 9/11 world is kind of like the tagline for my major, and how we communicate with other countries through violence.
Sounds terrifying and discouraging, but thank you for your efforts.
a little plug there. When people, I'm talking to people all the time who feel really confused about their background and how it all weaves together and their seemingly random opportunities and what they studied versus what they actually do. Let me tell you, if I can weave my story together in a way that makes sense, you and I can weave your story together in a way that makes sense.
Wow, a true professional. Okay, well, I'll let you keep on taking it away then. Do you want to blast through the rest of the list?
Yes. Okay. So this next one was really interesting to me. The medical and health services managers. Basically, the people who plan, direct, and coordinate healthcare services within medical facilities. The people who I'm on the phone with trying to figure out why my bill looks the way that it does. And I think a lot of people might look at this and think that that's not the job for them. But I actually would really encourage you to look more into it, because if you like problem solving and directly helping people with their problems, this is where you can do that. And also, the median pay is $104,000.
We like it.
So we like it. And a very good projected growth rate throughout the next decade of 28%. So that was an interesting one that didn't cross my mind on jobs that are going to be going up. But, you know, the healthcare industry is always expanding, always changing. So we need the people who can keep up with those expansions and those changes and help us as we're trying to figure out our medical bills and how they make sense. They can make them make sense to us.
Actually, I wonder if that's like a decent replacement for client success management. Kind of went down in tech a little bit. Oh. It was a very popular job for a while. And then the need really reduced when tech did a lot of layoffs. And so if you want that kind of feel, I wouldn't venture to say it's going to be the same kind of feel whatsoever, but I just had a little curiosity about that. I wanted to plan an idea, and anybody who wanted to do some more research to see if maybe healthcare could work out a little better in terms of job availability.
Yeah. And a note on that as well. I've had a couple conversations recently with people wanting to do client success management, but not wanting to do sales, and how a lot of times those two things go hand in hand. So if you are looking into doing customer success management, but you absolutely want to stay away from sales and technology altogether, I think that's a great idea to then look at something like being a health services manager. Mm-hmm.
I am like trying not to launch on my stop criminalizing sales bit, but that just like gets me so hard. I feel like people discount it way too early, and I'm like, okay, well then fine, just discount your career growth then. Like, because I think sales is service. Literally, fix your mindset on that. Sorry, I will shut up. Continue.
Next on list, epidemiologist.
Triggered.
Big word. Scientists who investigate patterns and causes of diseases and other public health issues to prevent their spread. So this would be those people who you knew in college who had a public health major and you were like, what does that mean? And my sister has a public health major, so I'm allowed to say that. But this is a real problem solving and critical thinking. That was the word I'm looking for. And I think a lot of people, when we all went through our doctor phase in high school after watching Grey's Anatomy, and I know my doctor phase was kind of led by the diagnosis process of seeing patients and think that critical thinking pattern of, ooh, like, what are the different symptoms? How can we pull this all together? What does it mean? If you have that same kind of brain, that puzzle brain, I guess, or the critical thinking brain, maybe epidemiologists is something you could consider. And also probably I could see there being a spike in this post-COVID. Okay, physician assistant is the next. So along the same lines as a nurse practitioner, they are different. And I would encourage you to look at the differences between them because they are pretty significant just in the different paths that you can take with each of those opportunities. But being a PA is a great opportunity to be in the healthcare and it has a awesome median pay of $126,000.
Interesting. Okay, we have a good amount to go through, so I think let's go a little faster. Of physical therapist assistants, that's interesting. I know somebody who's an assistant, mm-hmm. and they definitely don't make $62,000 a year. Maybe you should get a different job, or work for a different hospital. it sounds like he's being undervalued, but. Physical therapist assistants, software developers, no surprise. Occupational therapy assistants. That's interesting. Okay, so physical therapist assistants, people in healthcare are like, don't be dumb, but I am healthcare dumb though. How are these different? Occupational therapy assistants, professionals who assist occupational therapists. Thank you.
occupational therapy is like, from what I understand, smaller movements, while physical therapy is bigger movements. Wow, I really can't believe I just committed those words to the internet because I don't know if that's true, but that's what I think. And they are different, obviously.
Let's move on to actuaries.
Wait. I know about actuaries. I have lots of friends who are actuaries.
Wait, are you serious? Is that because there's mm-hmm. more insurance companies that are in the Northwest, or sorry, Midwest. I still don't understand why it's called the Midwest.
Probably.
I recently, I didn't honestly know what an actuary was, and I was asking Kevin, and he's like, oh yeah, pretty much all of them work for insurance companies that are trying to assess risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And I lived in Louisville, Kentucky for a little bit, and a big company that's based in Louisville hires a lot of actuaries, obviously, and so I like to think I'm an honorary actuary, which is actually an insane thing to say because it's really hard to become an actuary.
Yeah, and for how much we joked about you and I talking about numbers in this episode, I don't really know. Future's bleak on that one, Audrey, but
no.
I would say that, yeah. Wait, is this like a good use of math majors' time, maybe, so they don't just have to go be a math teacher if they don't want to? Huh. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's something that you can get into pretty early, and you have to go through a very long certification process. But if you get into a company early, you know, do an internship or after you get out of school and you decide you want to go into it, that company will then kind of sponsor you through your certification process.
Cute. I like.
Yes.
Okay. Computer and information research scientists. Again, this should be the friend with all the other data mm-hmm. jobs that I talked about. Researchers who invent and design new computing technologies and find innovative uses for existing technology. All right, I'm just going to take your word on that one. Again, that is computer and information research scientists. That's interesting. I have noticed an increasing demand for jobs that include research because that's like a core skill set, like almost personality type of not just people who enjoy analyzing, but people who really enjoy researching and going way, way deep. I've had a lot of clients, as mm-hmm. I'm sure you've noticed too.
Yeah.
Say, I just want a research job. And actually that goes mm-hmm. into the number 14, operations research analysts, professions professionals who use advanced mathematical and analytical methods to help organize organizations solve complex problems and make better decisions. That sounds meaningful. And I mean, all of these are, but yeah. I like that one. Solar. Ready for this. Solar photovoltaic. Help me.
Voltaic? Photovoltaic?
Thank you. Installers. Solar. Whatever. Solar installers. Workers who assemble, install, and maintain solar panel systems on rooftops and other structures. Okay.
If you like climbing.
Again, get out there.
Yeah. And also a lot of states, actually, I don't know if it's a lot, but some states have incentives in their legislation to get people to have solar panels. So if your state is moving that way, this would be really good. It's experiencing growth no matter what, but
I get texts all the time from a solar company that's like, let us install them on your home. But my parents did it. Yeah. As a consumer, do more research before you just believe it all. Panels are like almost always down and just cost a ton of money. And the company support was not good. So they actually don't get a lot of efficiency or use. And they thought that actually as a consumer, it would have been a lot better to just, you could buy a segment of solar power from an existing grid in a wide open field. And they found that would have been better to just buy their solar from being harvested elsewhere rather than just having and owning their own panels. Side note, a lot of people don't know that. So 16, home health and personal care aids. Caregivers who assist elderly, disabled, or ill individuals with daily tasks such as bathing, dressing, and housekeeping. Sometimes I want to do that. That's like my weird thing because I really love taking care of things. Like when my cat was sick, I literally was like, is there an old person in my life that I could transition all this love I have to give now that my cat is better? It was, yeah.
Wait, that's so special.
It's kind of, yeah, cute. Taxi drivers. This one, we were like, wait, what? Projected growth rate, 21%. But the thing is, first off, 30,000 per year median pay. I just want to let you do with that what you will. There's a lot of people dipping into ride sharing, which praise God that exists as a little gig economy. Not a little, it is a legit gig economy job. But again, refer to the earlier part in our conversation where Audrey and I talked about some more gig economy jobs that are accessible to get that might actually yield a higher pay and a higher return, especially since it also doesn't involve depreciating potentially your greatest asset that you may own, which may be your car. Consider that. But I think that this goes along with something I've been hearing randomly. Quite a few people mentioned this to me recently. They're like, did you know that Gen Z and like doesn't drive? And I was like, what do you mean? So a lot of college students in particular don't have their driver's license. They're not incentivized to drive anymore because they're like, well, I'll just ride share or autonomous vehicles are coming soon. And so they're not really as concerned with their own independence. They're not like you. Yeah, you are shook right now. I could see it in your face because you love driving.
My truck driving heart could never.
So I think, it's fair enough to say that that is going to be on the rise as a generational trend. Last three are personal care and service workers, which is miscellaneous workers who provide personal care and assistance to individuals such as personal shoppers and concierge services. And I think this is what goes along with actually a trend in hiring house managers. We had a client who she was a house manager for a long time, which is kind of a upgrade. It's like kind of the new thing to call your personal assistant that you also want help with like physical home tasks. But they also take on a more administrative role in for like family services. I feel like that should even be an extension of like probably not, but family offices, I think, are on the rise, which is like a personal concierge service, like financial planning, asset management for wealthy families. I think I have a friend that works for a family office and they really enjoy it. And so cool. Don't be sleeping on that if you need a new job idea. Last two, I'll let you take this one away as a person who doesn't like pets. You psycho.
Oh my gosh, put me on blast.
I blast you for this, Audrey.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the last two have to do with the vet, a place that I have never been. The veterinary technologists and technicians. So healthcare professionals who assist veterinarians in providing medical care to animals, diagnostic tests and administering treatments and stuff like that. So if you want to be a vet, but you don't want to go through the many, or it's just not in your life right now to go through the 4-year schooling process after your bachelor degree, that is very, very hard to get into from what I understand, go be a veterinary technologist and technician. It's on the rise, 21% growth over the next decade. And on top of that, number 20, veterinary assistants and laboratory animal caretakers. Okay.
Lab support animals? Support staff who help
veterinary technologists. Yeah, I know.
I can't. I feel like I do want to mention.
Sounded wrong coming out.
The median pay for being a vet tech is $38,000, and veterinary assistants median pay is $34,000 a year. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Like, I think that this is a high demand job because I think they actually have a labor shortage, because not only is it demanding, it's a little heartbreaking to say the least. And I think that the veterinary industry is one that is just kind of suffering for personnel right now. It actually has a very high attrition rate. And then also, this is like really, really heartbreaking, but my mom works very, very closely with vets because she has the hawk nest on my roof.
I heard you talking about lab animals. I was like, no.
Screw that. I'm obsessed with the hawk family that lives on my roof. Anyway, so I really don't want to say this, but like mental health for people in the veterinary industry is really, really, really hard. And they actually have a higher, I don't like this word, so I'm going to say it in a nicer way, a higher rate of taking their lives than even veterans in military. Yeah. And so it's really, really sad. And so if anything, I want to say, like, be kind to your vet tech. They're not just trying to be like heinous. I feel like when I go into the vet, they're like kind of, they deal with a lot of people who are very angry and skeptical about how their pets are being cared for, or like a certain markup on services and whatnot. And I'm like, listen, we need people in this field, so be nice to them. They go through a hard time and they're not happy about putting your dog down either. So that was like the absolute worst way that I could have ended this episode. But I feel so strongly about that from my mom's like a cat rescue organization, that she just really preaches having a huge amount of compassion and support for all of your veterinary staff, because they go through a hard time, and it's not like they just pet puppies all day.
Yeah.
Wow. Way to take it and go make a point that was not necessarily in theme for this episode.
Yeah, you said, Audrey, why don't you talk about these last two? I was like, I don't have any.
Well, I should have just let you talk about it. I can manufacture a soapbox out of anything.
Well, that is the those are the 20 jobs that are going to experience the highest percent change over the next decade, significant amount of time in your career. So if you're looking for a career change, if you also want to talk through more of how your particular skills might apply in one of these areas, and if it's something that might be right for you, please book a consultation call, because that's our favorite thing to talk about. So that link is in the description of this episode. The show notes. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
The show notes. Yeah, I would say like now is with an increasingly shifting and evolving market where even the definition of certain jobs change from one day to the next. I think now is a more important time than ever to ride the wave of career strategy support, because just there's so many things that you have to stay attuned to that are honestly kind of above what you can focus on as you're trying to be good at your job, good in your home life, and then also handle job search and think about the future of your industry. We have so much compassion for how that could be really freaking hard sometimes. So we love to take some things off your shoulders as much as we can and also help you navigate these massive, sometimes terrifying decisions in a way that feels empowering and like methodical, like you left no stone unturned and you really discerned your path with the Lord and are taking faithful steps onward to live out a career that you feel is for the glory of God and the good of others. Again, soapbox. There it is. I'm done. Until next time.
I love it. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. To get an even more meaningful head start into your calling, head to thecalledcareer.com, where my fellow career coach Audrey and I have created a whole suite of free resources and tools to help you get clear and get a job today. For those who are definitely ready to land a job or start a business in the next 6 to 12 months, we are here to help you biblically and practically discern your calling through coaching, reflection, and deep market research, identify the job that's aligned with it, even if you currently have no idea what you want, rebrand your resume and LinkedIn to translate your background to appeal to your future boss. P.S. We take this off your plate and do this for you. Also, we'll teach you how to land referrals and get attention from leadership through networking. Again, if that makes you nervous, we have these emails and LinkedIn messages literally written for you so you don't have to sweat. We're also here to give you unlimited interview practice so you're prepared to address every elephant in the room and knock selling yourself out of the park. Then we'll round out with helping you negotiate your salary so you land thousands more. Just so you know, recent clients have gotten $8,000 to $50,000 salary increases, even though they were totally non-traditional candidates. That's because we specialize in helping non-traditional career pivoters land jobs they're ecstatic to serve in. It takes work, but we're here to see you through until the end, when we're celebrating that day that you send me an email in all caps and you say, "Kelsey, I got the job." Then you could be on the podcast. But I'll be here until then, keeping you accountable and encouraged by meeting with you literally until you land the job you want, even if that's up to 6 months from now within our program. Apply to join at thecalledcareer.com, and I'll see you next week here at Answer the Call. Bye for now.